You're listening to Common Ground Conversations on JPR's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. This is a series of discussions about racialized polarization in politics and the structural barriers that remain in place in our society. We're particularly focusing our conversations on white women as a voting bloc. Thanks for joining us. Today, my guest is Gina Duquesne. She sits on the City Council for the City of Ashland, Oregon. Thank you for being here, Gina.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad that you asked me. Happy to be here today. And I will be speaking as a private citizen and not a member of the council today.
Excellent. Now, before we dive into it, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long have you lived in Ashland? What brought you here? What's your experience been like?
I've lived here for 17, almost 18 years. My wife and I moved here because of just the architecture, the people, the little nice little nestled valley that we get to live here. And I love it. I enjoy it. And then my years of living here, once the rose-colored glasses come off and the honeymoon phase is over, it became very interesting because sometimes being a Black woman in Ashland, either you are invisible or either the spotlight is on you.
Either way,
it's an experience.
It's an experience. The issue we're discussing in this series is about how Black and white women vote and their voting trends. So here's some background to this to consider. 157 million voters registered in the 2020 presidential election. White voters represented 71% of the total electorate, according to the Pew Research Center. Among white voters, white women are the largest Democratic voting bloc in America at 61.4 million registered voters. Now, by comparison, the entire population of all registered non-white voters, both men and women, is only 46.7 million. That means white women alone outnumber all non-white voting populations 61 to 46. But here's the issue we want to dive into today. The largest voting bloc of white voters are white women at 61 million, and the largest voting bloc of non-white voters are Black women at just under 12 million. And while an overwhelming majority of Black women in the 2016 and 2020 elections voted one way, the majority of white women in both elections voted polar opposite. In fact, this trend has held true for 15 of the last 17 presidential elections. So, Gina, as an accomplished leader and Black woman living in Southern Oregon, where the Black population is about 1%, maybe, why do you think a majority of white women consistently vote polar opposite of the majority of Black women?
You know, Mike, that is an excellent question, and your timing for these types of questions is right on point, right on time. And I would say it's my experience and my belief that this happens because of where these women are born, raised, their culture, their background, their history. And something that I feel very strongly about, and I did look at this, is that more and more white women are evangelical Christians. And I believe that there's a difference between Christianity, spirituality, and evangelical Christians. Not to say it's a bad thing. However, when you are steeped in a certain belief, that, in my thought, in my opinion, is that's the way you go. And when I look at the numbers that you just read off are astonishing to me and surprising in a way, but I do believe that that lies heavy on where you're born, how you were raised, and the culture you were raised in. And evangelical Christians are very heavy thinking to the right and not so much right of center, but it can be extreme.
Well, you're making an argument to me, in my mind, it seems like there should be an alignment because Black women throughout history have been on the side of the oppressed, the marginalized. They are highly concerned with the quality of education for children and family and economics and opportunity and things of that nature, equality for everyone. When you think of evangelical Christianity, they say they're for the oppressed, the marginalized, That seems like there's an alignment there. But the voting trends don't indicate that.
No, they don't indicate that. And something that you mentioned, Mike, you said they say. And you can say one thing and you can do another. And when you look at it on black and white on paper, it does seem as if it would be aligned and cross-pollination in that common ground sense. We all want our children to be safe. We all want to have food on the table, roof over our heads. However, I do believe that there's a big difference, and something you mentioned too about black women heavy on Christianity. However, I do believe that there is a line that is still there. It's blurred, but it's there. And I am in hopes as we move forward, and you said 15 out of the last 17 elections. So I'm hoping as we move forward, the lines begin to blur even more because we're coming up to a very, very polarized election.
Well, it looks like this. 90% of black women are concentrated in the way that they vote. And all non-white women voters, the majority of all of them, are aligned with black women. A slim majority of white women in 2016 voted opposite of black women. But that number increased. That gap increased in 2020. Mm-hmm. So it was 52% majority white women voting opposite of black women in 2016. It was 55% voting opposite of black women in 2020. And that number seems to be growing in this upcoming election.
Goodness, Mike, that's kind of disappointing in hearing that. However, when I look back at where we were in 2016 and where we are in 2020, what happened in 2020, it was not only a health pandemic, but it was also a racial pandemic. And so many things were twisted out of proportion. And the people who were, the man who was in power, he just co-signed everybody's crazy. And I believe that that really helped etch those numbers up. And I am in hopes, and maybe I'm a little optimistic, but I'm hoping those numbers will come down.
Okay. I'm hoping with you. This is Common Ground Conversations on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm your host, Mike Green. I'm speaking with Gina Duquesne, a city councilor in Ashland, Oregon, and we're talking about voting trends according to the data from the Pew Research Center. Gina, when I ask this question, why do a majority of white women vote polar opposite of the majority of black women? What thoughts immediately come to mind? And I'm not asking you to speak on behalf of all white women, but I'm asking, what are your thoughts about the question itself? Is it important? Is it relevant? Should anyone care?
Oh my goodness. Yes, it is very, very important. And should anyone care? We should all care. It seems every election, we all say, this is the most important election ever. However, I do believe this is the most important election ever from the top down. And I believe that as we move forward, we've had so much happen in between these two elections, 2020, 2024. And I am hoping that people have educated themselves to see the need to educate, know your history, know who is running, and be able to make that educated decision on their own to be able to choose the right people for the right offices. Because if we do not, then we'll lose our democracy. And we almost saw that go away. And because of that, and because the man who was in the White House previously, I believe and I am hopeful that women of all colors have educated themselves and we will move forward and do the right thing in 2024.
Well, when you mentioned Christianity, white evangelical Christians, I remember when Trump was elected in 2016, and right after that, there was the Women's March, the largest protest in history. So when women want to do something, they can get it done. And you're talking about white evangelical Christian women and black Christian women. Mm-hmm. aren't we all thinking about the same kinds of things that we want for our children and for society going forward?
I remember those marches. I had the opportunity to march with these women. And it was not just in one place. It was happened throughout the United States. And that was strong. And I can't agree with you more, Mike. When women want to do something, we put our heads together, we get it done. And that was that common thread, that tapestry that ran through all of us. As white women, black women, brown women, Asian women, and we all got together and we locked arms and we marched together. And we are not going to tolerate this and accept it. And then when they come after our bodies and our reproductive rights, Mike, I could go on and on. We are not going to tolerate this. So I do believe that in this conversation that we are having right now and we are being heard, that other women will hear this and they will share it with their children and their young daughters and with their sons, because it's going to take a village.
Well, after the Women's March, there was the Me Too movement. There seems to be an alignment of women when they raise their voices. It's an issue that they really feel passionate about and they care about writ large. And we see that in previous elections. We don't see that in this one. There seems to be a little bit of indifference. And I'm going to ask you this question. When you go to the polls, what are the most pressing concerns for you?
Well, just to touch base a little bit on what you said earlier, is that that's the hope that I'm talking about when you said how when women all get together and we get things done, that's the hope that I'm holding on to. And when I go to the elections, when I go to the voting polls, when I get my pamphlet and I sit and read it and I vote, what will be outstanding most to me are human rights. Women's rights, our bodies, our human rights. That will be most glaring to me when I go to the polls and vote, because we fought very hard, my generation, for that right. And how dare these people who have yet to have a child tell us what we will do with our bodies? So to me, that will be the most glaring piece of information on that ballot sheet. And how are we going to put food on the table? How are we going to have our lights on and housing for our children and moving forward? There's a lot of things, like I said, Mike, that this election is the most important election.
What do you think could happen to societal conditions that a majority of women collectively complain about if a majority of white women voted in alignment with the majority of black women and all other non-white women? What are the possibilities?
The possibilities are endless. That gives me joy. The possibilities are endless. And something that I have hope for young women, because as I look at the generations behind me and the generations in front of me, I have so much hope for the future. And the times, they have changed, and they are changing as we speak. So that education and that knowledge that these young folks can glean from what has happened in the past and the direction that we are going to go forward, I want to be there to cheer them on. I want to help them on, because the best is yet to come. And I have to say that to all my sisters. So I, for one, am looking forward to this next election.
So there has to be an intergenerational alignment in order to set the pace for the future.
Absolutely. And this intergenerational alignment, it's happening. It's happening. It is happening. So all I have to say is, people, put on your seatbelts, because here we come.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Gina Duquesne, for an insightful conversation. You've been listening to Common Ground Conversations on JPR's Jefferson Exchange. You can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe to the Jefferson Exchange on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There is plenty more Jefferson Exchange coming today. Up next, what we put in our mouths and where it comes from. We'll explore the American food industry, who the powerful people are, and how they got so powerful. A visit with the author of Barron's is up next on the Exchange after a break.